Sheriff, I've been trying to get you for a couple of weeks because you got to stop this busyness. You know, get on with life. You know
working,
I mean?
Working.
Yeah, you got to stop it. I mean,
lost word.
You're too unavailable out there working. Sheriff, first of all, up to date news on. I call them smash and grab. Frank makes fun of me, but that's what they are. It's just to come into a store, take what you want, and leave. And it happened in Freddie County.
It did.
But the results weren't the same as Chicago, San Francisco, or anywhere else in the world. What happened?
Well, first of all, two men entered a jewelry store. One of them had one of those spring-loaded punches. Mm-hmm. The other one, I guess, diverted the attention of the clerk, punched the glass case. Of course, the case shattered. The other individual grabbed the $22,000 diamond watch and started to take off. We're lucky enough in this county, we had a citizen
good
who saw this and intervened.
Beautiful.
Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but I hope he thumped the hell out of him.
Mm.
So we were close by. Private citizen intervened. And really is why we ended up taking the guy into custody. So we were close.
Yeah.
But
Sheriff, what is a spring-loaded punch?
It's a spring-loaded center punch that punches glass like a lot of EMTs and firemen carry them in their pockets on accident scene. It punches glass.
If you punch a glass window, Frank, if you know how to do it, it'll shatter the whole window.
Right. Right.
So
it's a safe way to break glass.
Yeah, a safe way to break glass. No one hurt in this, of course, was there?
No, no one hurt. One in custody, and
the one in custody wanted to go to the hospital or something.
Well, that's what I say. I hope the guy thumped him good.
Well, this is great. I hope that citizen gets up for some award or something.
He probably will.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. And any luck on the finding his partner in crime?
We're investigating. I do believe we've got a suspect. I'm not sure we located him yet, but we'll continue the investigation.
All right, as things go along, I want to take you next to headlines, is the fact that our school system was invaded by rumors and or emails or social media threats. And, of course, we take that very seriously here in Frederick County. And what happened there, Sheriff?
So last Friday, actually all of last week, it started early in the week, we started to get a series of threats of school shootings. And they escalated throughout the week until Friday. I think the majority of these were based on a TikTok social media release where it was threatened nationwide the school shootings were going to occur.
Right.
Well, we started to get a rash of those here in Frederick County. We actually had 16 threats in one day. It totally overwhelmed the school resource officers, a lot of other criminal investigators. Most of our deputies were tied up on this the entire day because of each and every individual threat, we have to investigate it to determine if there's any validity or if it's credible. And we run it out to the point where we go to the trouble of, and a lot of times it's difficult to identify who started this.
Definitely.
Okay. So we get the IP information, IP addresses. We identify the individuals. We bring their parents in. We go to their homes. We ask for consent to search to see if there's access to firearms, weapons, or if there's any means to carry out those threats. And for each and every threat, we do that.
And there were 16.
16. And at the end of the day, they did arrest a
14-year-old.
Bouncer Creek Middle School student,
right.
And just today we charged a 12-year-old
right.
middle school student. So we take it seriously.
Now,
we're going to pursue these.
I can't have the inside information that you all get, but did they think they were being funny? Is that what they – the motive was to do exactly what they did, but
– Well, to basically
– Disrupt the system.
Disrupt the schools, and they did it.
Unbelievable.
Both said they thought it was a joke.
Well, you know, it's not a joke. And, maybe it is at that age, but it's not a joke. It's not taken as a joke. This goes on across this country every single day. It's really exhausting law enforcement, the amount of resources and manpower. Actually, last Friday, we had virtually every deputy in the agency that was working, criminal investigators, narcotics, school resource officers. A lot of our commanders were out at every single school in this county trying to, make people feel like things were going to be okay.
Just
the presence, just the visibility.
Sure. Yeah. This reminds me in the old days, before we had social media, that this is the same as someone, in my opinion, pulling a fire alarm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Or calling in a bomb threat or something like that.
Yeah. But, this one kid, somebody starts the threat, it gets carried on, it gets passed on through social media. Next thing you know, it's like a firestorm.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Hey, let me go back to the smash and grab.
Sure, please.
A couple of weeks ago, when all this started throughout the entire country and we started to see this, I got with my commanders and I said, listen, I want every patrol deputy, when they're not tied up on an incident or an accident or a crash or doing something,
on assignment.
Some type of an assignment, I want you at the malls, the jewelry stores, the shopping centers, box stores. They are not going to loot this town to death. I'm not going to let it happen.
Good for you.
Now, you know, we may not be able to prevent it all, but we're going to damn well try.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's what we need to hear. I mean,
well, that's the truth, Tim.
Yeah, and the public needs to hear that. Frank has a question for you that we'll get for his question when we come back. We'll take a short break. Sheriff, before we get to other points that I asked you to come in for, I want to talk to you about this. I went on a rant the other day about fentanyl deaths and fentanyl in the country. I know I don't want to take you back to, I know how you feel about the border, but I was listening to Border Patrol agents today talking about they can't contain it. They can't. They're stopping. They're getting, I'll say, hundreds of pounds of fentanyl, and there's at least that much
getting
through.
It's not making a difference, Tim.
No, it's not.
The quantities we're getting off the street right now, fentanyl and heroin, not making a dent in it whatsoever.
And the cartels are saying now that they're making it so less expensive that they can lower the price, which means it'll be more, be available.
And what gets seized is the cost of doing business.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's
like spoilage in a fast food restaurant.
Exactly. It's part of doing business.
Yeah.
It's sad because I think during the COVID pandemic we've had over a year and a half now, or over a year, whatever, we forget about the sustaining tragedies that we have going on.
In America, we had over 100,000 mm-hmm. fentanyl deaths.
Yep.
Okay. That's more than auto crash deaths and gun deaths combined in America.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the open borders intentionally. This is intentionally done by the Biden administration. And I'd love to go down that road with you, but we'll talk about that later.
Sure. All right. The reason we're going to welcome your phone calls, if you wish to call and talk to the sheriff or ask him a question, we can open the phone lines at 301-694-9363. We will take your calls. Or if you want a text message, same phone number, we'll ask those questions also. Sheriff, the wonderful lawmakers in the state of Maryland went into special session recently, and during their because they're so in tune to what's going on in the real world, they wanted to attack, and they did attack, the 287G program. It's been a long time coming because they've been beaten on every other platform. So I'm assuming they were thinking that they're going to get the last laugh or whatever their feeling is because of the misinformation, the false news regarding the 287G program. And I challenge anyone in this county to tell me if you've been stopped for a headlight out or, brake light out, and you've ended up in the jail and deported, I'll take your calls at any time. I have yet to find that person, Chuck.
Yeah, no, I hear you. So I want to touch on what Karen Lewis Young said in the media the other day. I heard what she said.
Yes, yes.
And she is so disconnected from reality. She has no clue, no understanding whatsoever about what's going on in the 287G program, what the threats really are, what's going on at the border. Because what's going on now in this country is not fixable. It is not fixable. And she's totally, again, I heard what she said. She has no clue what she's talking about. The 287G program has made this county a lot safer.
Certainly.
And by the override of the governor's veto on House Bill 16, which is what you're talking about,
yes.
Let me call out Karen Lewis Young, Ken Kerr, Carol Krim, and Ron Young. This county is now less safe because of those four people.
I agree.
And this state is less safe because of every Democrat that voted for that.
I think there's some confusion, Sheriff, on what the bill changes from
right.
the status quo.
There is.
Tell us.
So the bill actually does nothing to interfere with the 287G program, but what it does do is prohibit myself or any other sheriff or any other local or state government from entering into a contract with Homeland Security to detain ICE prisoners.
To hold them.
Now, you might think that sounds good, right? It's called dignity, not detention.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely false rhetoric because what they've done now, ICE is looking for bed space for housing all over the country. And in this particular region, the state of Maryland, between Frederick County and Worcester County, what was a good location to house ICE detainees in this region. So basically, instead of releasing the criminals out onto the street, they had bed space to hold them until they were deported. So what these Democrats have done, and let me remind you again, Karen Lewis Young, Carol Krim, Ken Kerr, and Ron Young have now made Frederick County and the state of Maryland less safe. And I hope everybody remembers that next November.
Well said. We'll take your calls at 301-694-9363. First call's up. It looks like Mark. Mark, you're up first.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just comment is this. Chuck Jenkins is one of the best sheriffs in the country. And you hear it in his voice. He has competence. He knows what he's talking about. And that's why most of us in Frederick County feel totally safe with him. And I just want to say thank you and we appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Was that your brother-in-law?
Thank you. So let me go back to the House bill briefly.
Yeah, please.
Again, I think what they intended to do was eliminate through the bill eliminate the program, but they haven't.
Right.
So again,
well, they found out that they can't.
But
it's contractual.
Basically, Biden has basically dismantled the program by putting ICE on the sidelines, saying, "Listen, you're not going to do anything.
Yeah.
You're not going to deport criminals anymore."
Yeah. This is a wonderful way to run a country.
It is.
Which we know it's not. And again, thank you, Mark, for your call. 301-694-9363. What people don't understand, Sheriff, and you've said it ad nauseum. You just continue to say it. I say it. Frank even somewhat knows it. Your department is not knocking on doors, bringing people in, asking their status. They're not stopping cars. Excuse me. They're not stopping cars and checking driver's license and immigration status, and then having them deported. This is just the rhetoric, as you say, the false information is the rhetoric that is being played by the left.
We're not doing that, Tim, nor is any other law enforcement agency. The Frederick City Police don't do it. Maryland State Police, DNR, no state or local agency around this state is doing that. This is a simple program that once you are in custody, once you are taken, locked up in handcuffs and taken to jail.
For what reason?
For any crime.
What crime? Driving without a license?
No, that's not even an arrestable crime anymore.
Right.
So you look at the records of arrest through the program with us. Mm-hmm. They run the gamut from simple assault, aggravated assault, various degrees of murder, drug trafficking, robbery, human trafficking, you name it, child sexual assault, which is very prevalent in that culture, very prevalent, sexual assault of women, rape, domestic violence, you name it. But no one has been deported because they had a headlight out. I damn well guarantee you that.
That's well said, because I said that. And the left always says, well, they're not telling the truth. Yes, you are telling the truth.
I can show them records.
We've also, and you have challenged those people with such insane stories. Come forward. Come forward.
Right.
And I've seen you personally ask them to do so, and I've seen them, you know, make all the accusations. But when it's come to, you know.
But nobody steps
nobody,
up.
Nobody
not
step,
one. Not and my one. Door is open to everybody in this county to come in. If you got a complaint, tell me what the complaint is. We will investigate it.
Well, we want to hear more about what's going on in Frederick County. Also, the detox center, or whatever you call it, that you originated and the county helped fund out at the old, work release program center.
Right.
I want to get an update on that. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We're also going to take your phone calls after this short break. Sheriff, we were talking about the 287G and the challenge that you put out there. Of course, if you have a complaint, let me hear it. And again, no one's ever filed. How many complaints do you have on 287G? Other than for the politicians.
No formal complaints.
None. How long?
And everybody wants to refer back to the two lawsuits that we went through and we actually paid out on. But they had nothing to do with 287G. Nothing whatsoever. But the left, the politicians who hate the program, always want to throw that in the mix.
Well, sure.
Totally untrue.
I know that.
Yep.
And I wish it would have been fault, but the insurance company said cheaper to...
Exactly. Yeah. Cheaper than to keep her.
Yeah, exactly right. 301-694-9363. Now, also, we're going to take some phone calls, and we get time for that. What do you got for me, Frank? That was fast enough. Let's go to Rich. Rich, good afternoon. You're with the sheriff of Frederick County.
Hi. I just wondered what your stance was on concealed carry permit approvals and what you consider... Because my understanding is you guys have to approve it. It's not just apply it. And if you haven't committed a crime, you get it.
No,
I just wonder what you guys consider what you can do or what you consider reasonable reason to have one.
Okay. So, first of all, I have no part in that, unfortunately. It's all goes through the Maryland State Police Department of Licensing.
Okay.
So unlike
PA, county by county, yeah.
No. So, listen. So it all goes through the state police. And to apply for that, you have to have a good and substantial reason. Now, that can vary in terms of if you have a business, you transport money to banks and from banks, or if you've had a threat on your person or your family. That's typically how you get the permit. I'm a believer of a person has a right to protect themselves wherever they have a right to be. And I actually,
exactly.
when Blaine Young, if you remember back when he was a county commissioner, he and I tried to forward legislation that would allow sheriffs and the county to approve carry permits. And to me, if an individual is not prohibited from owning or possessing a firearm, he should have a permit to carry. That's where I stand with it.
Exactly. You think you'll ever get reciprocity? Because I'm in West Virginia, and PA recognizes it. Virginia recognizes it. I don't need a Maryland driver's license, so why do I need a Maryland concealed carry permit?
As long as the legislature and the General Assembly is controlled by Democrats, the answer is no, you will never get it.
That's just nuts.
I know. That's okay. Maryland, buddy.
Thanks,
that's
anyway.
Maryland. Thank you.
Yeah, that's you tell them the truth there, Sheriff. That's got to stop. I do appreciate West Virginia's carry concealed law, and I think Pennsylvania is going to go for that.
Pennsylvania has it. So in Pennsylvania, I could walk in the Adams County Sheriff's Office,
right?
Apply a simple application process.
$25.
About $25.
5 years.
It takes about 60 minutes.
5 years at last.
Oh, 5 years at last. Okay.
Ours down here, 2 years.
It takes about an hour to 2 hours to process. You sign it off, and you got a carry permit.
Yep.
The sheriff.
I've been there, done that, and I appreciate that. 301-694-9363. Sheriff, something on my... I'll give you a second here shortly to talk about what you want to talk about, but I went off the nutso wagon here the other week when Frederick City, where I live, hosted another Antifa Black Lives Matter protest parade agenda down through the streets of Frederick City, you know, without permits, without authorization. They just did it, and everyone seems to acquiesce to the insanity of this. Are there laws in the county that would prohibit this from going on in the county?
There are no specific laws that would prohibit it, but I'll tell you what I would do. First of all, you would have to get, well, so let's take, for instance, like parades in Frederick County. When you have a parade and you're going to block traffic, you have to provide a route of the parade. You have to get that okayed by myself or the Maryland State Police,
right,
whichever jurisdiction it falls under, and you have to follow that route.
Sure.
So to me, in a protest, if you wanted to get on the roadways and protest, you would have to provide me a map. I wouldn't let you go and block traffic, interfere with traffic.
Right.
But potentially you could have that march, you could have that protest, and I wouldn't allow that. I wouldn't allow it to do what they do in Frederick. It just wouldn't happen.
Well, I don't,
you can control these things, Tim.
Well, they were controlled. I mean, they let them go wherever they want. They control. You meant the police could control it.
Yeah, the police could.
Well, the police, in my opinion, were told to stand down. I believe that 100%. They came out, they have their 3 or 4 ABCD plan and all this. What I don't appreciate is the taxpayers not being able to go where I want to because of somebody protesting, screaming on a megaphone, M this and
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so listen, so when you get to that point,
yeah,
there's a law disturbing the peace.
Yeah.
Okay, doesn't that apply? Wouldn't that apply?
I would
disorderly
think so.
Conduct, wouldn't that fall under disorderly conduct?
Yeah.
Which are potentially arrestable offenses. You can control these environments.
Right.
It's a matter of do you choose to do so or not.
I think we've given in to the insanity and thinking we're not causing any problems by let's let them do it. This is not law and order. This to me, it's not law and order. I mean, you can come up with 4 or 5 plans A, B, C, D. We're going to do this if they do that. My point is, why do we let them? Why are we letting them? I think they're destroying the city.
I do too.
I'm not coming into city when I know that they're scheduling one of these protests. I'm not going to shop in there. I'm not going to go downtown,
So City Hall, every Friday evening, probably right now as we speak, there's a crowd up there who are allowed to stand there, chalk up the sidewalks, do whatever they're going to do to destroy or damage property, and they march and they protest on their bullhorns, defund the police, F Chuck Jenkins, kill Chuck Jenkins, defund 287G, and the mayor allows us to go on. So Saturday morning, the public works crews come in on overtime and clean up the place, hose down, spray down the sidewalks, pressure wash everything, and next Friday it happens again. Why is it allowed to continue?
Well,
And yet people on Record Street who own
very valuable,
very valuable properties and pay huge taxes,
yep,
their vehicles are marked up, chalked up, damaged, vandalism to their homes, it's allowed to continue.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, not to me either.
Let's see what the callers want to know. Frank, we're going to go to Tom first. Tom, you're up first.
Tim, thank you. Hey, Chuck, you're doing a great job as always.
Hey, Tom in Walkersville, how you doing?
Hey, I've got a tech question for you, Chuck, and I know it's about concealed carry. There's a case in the Supreme Court right now. Agreed to hear it. State of New York not supposed to. They're not supposed to render a decision until June. Don't ask me why it's going to take till June. But what's if it goes against the state of New York and these other? What's to stop me the day that case goes for the resident of New York? If it goes the way we want it to go, what's to stop me here in Maryland from just throwing a loaded handgun up my dashboard? What's I mean? Am I right?
You know, I won't answer that, Tom, because I really, as much as I'm aware of the case is going on, I haven't read the detail of the case or the argument. So I can't really answer that very fairly for you.
Okay, but I just want you to know that, you know, thanks to socialist scum like Ron Young and his wife, that we'll never get, at the state of Maryland, we'll never recognize our right to defend ourselves.
No, again. I think those rights all – well, not the right, but I think those responsibilities ought to go back to local sheriffs, because who better knows their citizens than a sheriff? State police don't know who you are. The superintendent doesn't know you or the commander that's signing the permits, but a sheriff knows who you are. You come into my office, apply for the permit. I know your family. I probably know what you do for a living. You can justify for me why you as a Frederick County citizen need to protect yourself.
But in the case of – in this case, though – like for West Virginia, you don't need to ask mother. You don't have to say, "Mother, may I?"
Right.
You automatically, the state of West Virginia recognizes our right to defend ourselves away from our homes and businesses.
Yeah, it's what they call it's constitutional carry, and there's a number of states that have that.
And that's the ideal. That's the best we can hope for.
That's the way it should be.
Well said, my friend. Let's go from Tom to Jeff. Jeff, you're up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Sheriff, and Tim, and Frank.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
You may have answered this, but were those protesters from this area? Did you have a sense of it? Why are we, if they aren't, why are we bending over backwards for people coming from Montgomery County, I'm guessing, or Northern Virginia, to come up here and do that?
My sense is that most of them are not local. And I go back to last summer's protests that came out to the law enforcement center. We found out that they were, most of them were not local. However, they're nothing but young, liberal kids that live in their basements, parents, never had a responsibility, don't know anything about the world they live in, but yet they're out there and allowed to do what they want to do without any retribution or accountability.
Yeah, I just think that's insane. And there did used to be a permit process for when you were doing a parade or something like that, and I don't understand why it's enforced against certain groups and not against others. But I agree with Tim that, you know, why should any, even if they are local, why should be allowed to disrupt other folks?
Correct. Right.
And, you know, take away from the services really that they're paying for. And why should we hear a bunch of crap about people from Montgomery County about, we have a sheriff that's doing a great job and we have a safe county because of it.
Well, you know, Jeff,
and,
I hear.
I can really care less what people from Montgomery County or Northern Virginia, they can stay there.
I hear a lot of local people saying that they're not coming downtown to spend money, buy dinner, go to the stores, the shops. The downtown businesses have got to get tired of this. And when they do, I think they're going to be beating on the mayor's door, and there's going to be consequences. So I think it's going to – listen, I think the tide is starting to shift, to be honest with you.
Good, good.
I really think you're starting to see a tide shift against it, this protest, this mob mentality out there.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's go from Jeff to 1, 2, 3, Ryan. You're up next, Ryan.
Hey, Tim. Sheriff, you know, I texted you the video when I was covering the protest. And I want to push back a little bit about what you said. I don't think, now maybe around the country, people are growing wary of protests. But in the city of Frederick, those people were greeted with the red carpet last Saturday as they rolled through the streets of downtown Frederick. I don't know what the protest permit specifically states, because I went to the City of Frederick website to try to download it. But those people walked through the city with impunity. And the one thing that we didn't talk about is, guess where they ended up? They ended their protest in front of Councilwoman Kelly Russell's house, degrading her for being a former police officer. And you know what? She took it.
This is
insane, Chuck. She took the humiliation and sat there and nodded
in agreement with these punks. And these people are nothing but millennial punk cowards. And I would say it again to their face if they were in front of me.
I agree. And, you know, it's laughable because she was a city cop. But she has turned 360, so she is actually their biggest advocate right now.
Or 180.
It's really sad that this city's become like this. And when you tell me the city's rolling out the red carpet, that's even worse. This is my hometown. This is not the hometown Tim and I grew up in.
No, it's not.
At all. But, yeah, Ryan, thank you for being there and covering it the way you did. Again, I think the tide is turning on this, and I think the public's getting really, really weary of it.
Thank you, Ryan, always, buddy. I think normal people are, Frank, but I'm not convinced that people that support this are normal.
Yeah.
I don't understand anarchy. I don't understand marching down the street and invading a city. And Frank makes fun of me when I say this, but 12 people or 15 people, however many they had, took over the whole city and could do anything they want, anywhere they wanted, and we acquiesced. We gave in to them. Well, isn't that wonderful? Not to me. We'll take your calls. The sheriff will answer your questions, and he doesn't hold back. Let's go to Derek. You're up next.
Hello. I think I'm on. I can't hear you guys right now.
Yes, sir. You are.
Live. You are.
Oh, okay. I just sort of dinged. That was all. Yeah, I'd like to know, and I 100% mean this with as much respect as possible. Why do you feel the need to be so partisan in your public appearances? I understand that, you know, you can and should have your own personal beliefs about the issues, you know, affecting the county, the country, the world, whatever. But I think it's unnecessarily antagonistic in order, like, when you go out and you make these statements, you're feeding resentments in our society that end up just dividing us farther. And we in this county, I grew up in Frederick County. I live in Frederick County. I vehemently disagree with your positions as a political figure,
mm-hmm.
but I try to remain as respectful as possible. I don't go out and call you names and this and that, but all of these callers that I've listened to are feeding into this whole narrative that you are not trying to stop either, that there's some sort of evil menace in our society. And that, you know, we've got to do something about it. And all that does is create those resentments. It creates people who want to push the issues even farther. And then all you get, like the Bible says, when you have an eye for an eye, then all you have are people that are blind.
Well, good question right, for the
okay,
sheriff. I'd
so,
like to
so
hear
let
your
me
response.
Answer. So, yeah. so I don't know you, but I will respectfully disagree. My job, my obligation is to uphold the law and make the best decisions I can to keep this county as safe, including you, as safe as possible. And like any other elected official, any other person elected to, I have my beliefs, I have my political view, my views on what is right and wrong, and I can express those views like any other politician or any other elected official. So, but it just, you know, the other part of it is, I'm fair and impartial in carrying out the law and enforcing the law. My men and women are fair and impartial. I believe in equal justice, fairness to all, equal opportunity. That's what it's all about. But I have the right to express my views. And when I think other elected officials are doing things to harm you, your family, this county, and all of us that live here, I'm going to express that. So you probably don't agree, but I will respectfully disagree with you.
Well said, Sheriff. Well said, Derek. A good question. They realize that the sheriff of Frederick County is a partisan. You are elected by party.
Right.
Now, I think it would, you know, I don't know that the sheriff should be Republican or Democrat. You know, but you are under the law right now. You have to run as a Republican or Democrat.
Correct. Yeah.
301-694-9363. Let's go to Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Hello, Tim. Hi, Tim. How are you? Hi, Sheriff. How you doing?
Hi, Bill.
Okay, I want to touch on three or four things that you said, High Sheriff, for a minute. There is a special squad from the city of Frederick, DPW, that goes up there every Saturday to have to clean graffiti. And, yes, it's overtime. I think one or two of them might not be, but there is a special squad. I mentioned that on your show, Tim, last week. There is, and if I want to go back to the sheriff and go back to his memory, last a couple summers ago when we had the reverse rally on your 287G downtown where some of your family members were down there, so I think you can remember this. There was a gentleman with a bullhorn that was going, never said anything wrong, but was told that he had to curtail the bullhorn. And so, but they let these people go up and use cuss words up and down the street the other Saturday night. And I want to tell you, I hope everybody today listen to the sheriff, because the sheriff is a person who cares about this county, cares about everybody in it. And I'm getting tired of the politicians in this town going and lying about them, where it's at the state, where it's at the county, or wherever it is. I hope everybody listened to what he had to say. And I think it's about time that we all get together and show our support for Chuck again in public and show these people. As I can guarantee you, we'll have more than 12 people.
All right, Bill, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. You go from Bill to Mark. Mark, you're up next.
Hey, Chuck and Tim and Frank. I was going to comment about the Antifa downtown because I was there, but I'm going to switch my comment to what that caller before the last one said,
sure,
talking about being partisan and it feeds the narrative and all that. When you stand on the wrong side of truth, when you call truth out, it doesn't make you political. It just means you're standing for truth. And so if that gentleman aligns himself with the wrong party in this case, so Chuck called out those four names, Ron Young, so-and-so, I can't remember them, but they're standing on the wrong side of truth. And so it becomes partisan or political because these people choose to make it political, but Chuck in this case and we that are calling in are choosing to stand on the side of truth. We're not bringing up politics, but those people are Democrats, and the Democrat platform right now stands for, by their actions, they don't enforce the law.
Mark, we only have 1 minute left with the sheriff. I want to give you the minute, Sheriff, to address whatever you want to in 60 seconds or less.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's a pleasure being here, and I look to come on more often.
Yes,
and
sir.
I'll say, as we're headed into the holiday season, Christmas and New Year's, I'll just wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Enjoy yourselves, but whatever you do out there, be safe doing it, especially driving. You know, if you drink, please don't drive. And have someone else drive for you. So I just want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, and let's all hope for a better 2022.
And if there's anything we can all agree on, I hope it is the work of the Sheriff's Department in dealing with these kids and the social media and the threats to schools, because it's extremely disruptive, and it's not easy to find a solution, but appreciate everything the Sheriff's Department did to follow up on.